Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we observe Christmas in July at BBF 2016, which is an annual event on or around July 25th each year. We take time to sing songs about the nativity and the incarnation of Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. We dress appropriately for the occasion, which pretty much means most people wear green and red. And then we have a Bible message related to the birth of Jesus Christ. And by the way, you'll want to make sure to see the video clip that we include of Brother John Allbaugh and his very nice hat. Now, these messages are always hot-button issues, as they're called, and we always get a mix of rebuke and praise. But the majority of responses we get are like that of Sister Patty, who viewed our live stream on Facebook Sunday and posted a short note saying, quote, "Thank you for clarifying that celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior does not automatically mean we are unsaved, covert Satan worshipers," end quote. And we say, you are welcome, Patty. And that really is what fundamental Christianity is boiling down to in these last days, as we face real apostasy with the corruption of the Word of God in new versions and false gospels that are no gospel at all, urging wicked sinners not to repent of their sins. And we have an unrelenting attack on the blessed hope with a satanically motivated effort to have God's people preparing for Antichrist instead of looking for Jesus Christ in the air at any moment. Not to mention the moral evils encroaching upon the church, the evils of Sodom and of abortion, the death of America and her constitution and so forth. A large portion of fundamental Christianity is being diverted toward the fight against Santa Claus and Rudolph and all of these silly, nonsensical fads like the Mandela Effect and the Flat Earth. And no, I'm not joking. So if you have legitimate questions or comments, or you'd like to request prayer, feel free to contact us by email at bbbfohio@yahoo.com, or you can send your letter to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. And we take those questions, those comments, and the prayer requests very seriously when they're legit. Letters from Satanists, spammers, flat earthers, holiday hunters, or anyone claiming to be an alien, a prophet or apostle will be dropped into file 13. Otherwise, feel free to contact us again at that email, BBBF, that's three B's, BBBFOhio@yahoo.com, or the P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. And now we begin our study titled The Christmas Apocalypse from Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 to 5, followed by a special song from our sister Martha and a couple of congregational specials, all at the end of part 2. We now begin part
Revelation
1 of 2.
Chapter 12, verses 1 to 5, The Christmas Apocalypse. It's not going to be as wild as you may think by the title, but I'll move myself over a little bit. You open your Bibles, if you haven't already, to Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 to 5. Revelation chapter 12. Give a couple of you a minute to get there. Give Martha a second to get there. Pray for Martha. She'd been having back trouble, haven't you? Keep Martha in your prayers. We didn't mention that. It's like with Martha, you know, we pray for you, but when you're here, we kind of put it off onto the home prayer list. But anyway, Revelation chapter 12, we're going to begin in verse 1. If you would, read with me. "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the 3rd part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. This is the story, at least part of this story you just read, of the Nativity. And it's told from the perspective of Bible prophecy. Amen. And there's not a lot of folks who have heard a Christmas sermon in December from Revelation chapter 12. But it's a fitting text. And we're having, for those who aren't aware of it, those watching online, this is our Christmas in July. Woo-hoo! And we have a good time with it. This year kind of snuck up on us. I was actually going to do a little decorating and everything, and I packed so much stuff up, I couldn't even bring my hat. Aww. I have the awesome hat that I was telling Thomas about. It's a Burl Ives hat. Mine, the one I'm talking about, sings. So yours is nice, but mine's nicer. No, actually, mine would be the one you wear to the party. John's the one you wear when you're like going out in public. Yeah, that's the difference between the hats. By the way, John, come up here. I want you to show people. Come here. Folks online need to see John Allball. All of our regular viewers and listeners, John is not a stranger to you. Just stand right in front of that chair there. Over this way just a little bit. Now, look at that hat. Isn't that beautiful? That's nice. I mean, the face is nice, too. Jesus is the gift that keeps on forgiving. Amen?
Amen.
That's great. All right. John, I want that hat when you outgrow it.
Amen.
Now, before we get into our study, I just want to make a little introduction on the use of the term Christmas. And we love all the brethren. Amen?
Amen.
Even the silly ones. Amen?
Amen.
And they're probably people watching right now who are ready to throw things at me because I'm using the word Christmas.
Yeah.
And they say, it's a pagan word. It's a pagan term. It's referring to the Roman Mass and all that. So I want to just real quick introduce this. Language is not absolute.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Right.
Language is not absolute. God's word is absolute.
Amen.
Okay? God's word doesn't say anything about Christmas or the word Christmas one way or the other.
Amen.
It talks about the nativity and the birth of Jesus Christ. But the word Christmas doesn't come up one way or another in the Bible. And human language is not absolute.
Yeah. Amen.
So with that understanding that language is not absolute, words mean what the user intends.
Yeah.
And I'll give you another example. I laugh all the time I see this. But you see rock and roll, and there'll be... And someone will probably take this and turn it into a YouTube video. But they'll get... In rock music and everything, they'll go, yeah! Flash the horns, You ever seen people do that?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
But if you're watching baseball, the shortstop will say, 2 down.
Yeah.
He intends to say there are 2 outs. He's not praising Satan.
Yes. That's right.
Okay? Now, some preachers and politicians point, and because we got fat hands and fat fingers, the pinky drops out. We're not praising Satan. We're pointing, and as we point, our pinky drops down, and it looks like the same thing. But it's not. And so you have to ask, what's the intention of the person flashing that sign? Are they actually flashing a sign, or do they have fat hands? Or are they playing baseball? Or, sadly, a lot of people, even down in Texas, this is the symbol for the Longhorns. But they'll do this. It's actually supposed to be that, if you go back and look at the beginnings. And it looks more like a Longhorn, too, don't it?
Yeah.
So, now that I've given plenty of fodder for someone to make a YouTube video, words mean what the user intends. So, same thing with words.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk a little bit more about that, so I'm not going to linger right here. But I'm not referring to the Roman Mass when I use the word Christmas.
Yeah.
So what is Greg intending? And I believe everyone in this room, when you use the word Christmas, what do you mean?
Yeah.
None of us here are referring to the Roman Mass. To pretend otherwise is a lie and is bearing false witness against me. So anyone who sees our several messages we've done through the years where we refer to Christmas, if they claim that Greg Miller, he's a pagan, he's a compromiser, I think he's a Jesuit. Why? He celebrates Christmas and even uses the word. They're trying to tell you I'm referring to the Roman Mass. It's a lie, and they're bearing false witness against me and anybody else that they say that about. If that person using the word Christmas is not referring to the Roman Mass, and you say they are, you're a liar.
Yeah, amen.
Third, spiritual babes get hung up on these trifles.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm not trying to be mean, but anyone hung up on this stuff is an infant spiritually, and you'll see it in their life. Yeah. Their life will be a roller coaster, up and down, constantly. They're like a double-minded man, unstable in all their ways, like a wind, you know, tossed to and fro in the wind, that sort of thing. That's who gets hung up on this stuff. While knowing little and doing little, many who make much of Christmas are on a shortcut to feeling like a spiritual giant.
Yeah.
What I mean? I mean that instead of really growing spiritually, learning the word, majoring on the majors, preaching the gospel, doing the things they're supposed to be doing, they feel like a spiritual giant overnight when they realize they're one of the frozen few who are against everything. And they are in the little, you know, tiny element, the remnant that is true, and everybody else celebrates Christmas and they're evil. Amen.
Amen.
That's exactly what you're dealing with. I want to say it again. We don't hate those people.
Amen.
They can frustrate you. They can even make you angry. But we don't hate them. You pray for them to grow up. Just like when a little baby walks around in an infant in their diaper, and instead of going to the restroom, they feel their diapers sitting out here in the pews or in the chairs. You don't get mad at them, do you? But you do want the diaper changed. Amen?
Yeah.
And that's what we're doing now. We're changing some diapers. Finally, as I said a moment ago, let's major on the majors.
Amen.
I want to show you how dumb this is. There are actually people who know this. I'll tell you what in a minute. But if you're going to tell everybody to stop using the word Christmas in reference to the birth of Christ and all that, you have to stop using the days of the week. Every time you say Sunday, you are worshiping the sun god.
Wow.
By their definitions and by their application. Every church on the planet who says they have a Sunday service, they're declaring that they're worshiping the god of the sun god today. When you say, oh man, I hate Mondays, you hate the day that is set apart for the moon goddess. Fat Tuesday, it's all about the god Tyre. Hump day. Come on, what day is it? Hump day. Hump day, you're celebrating the god Woden, or Odin. Thursday, you are celebrating and observing the worship of Thor. Friday, the goddess Frigga, which if I had that name, I'd change it. That's not going to be a baby name. No Frigga Millers. She's the wife of Odin, by the way. And then Saturday, you're worshiping Saturn. And if you're going to accuse people of taking part in Roman Mass because they celebrate Christmas or refer to Christmas, then be consistent and point the finger at yourself when you refer to the days of the week.
Right.
Amen, amen, amen,
amen.
I'm hoping you're just hungry and that's why it's quiet in here, because what I'm telling you is the truth. The months of the year. January is the observance of the Roman god Janus.
Yep.
Janus, not J-N-I-C-E like our Janus, but J-N-U-S. February is the pagan festival of Februa, which was very pagan and unbiblical. March is the observance of the worship of Mars. April, the observance of Aprilis, which was the season of fertility, which is like the Freemason cult. May, the Roman goddess Maya. June is June, referred to as Queen of Heaven. Where have you seen that before?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And wife of Jupiter.
That's why nobody born in June is good for anything.
He married one, so. She's good for making babies, mister. I just said it for her. I know she's thinking it. July is Julius Caesar and August is Augustus Caesar, pagan emperors who were worshipped as gods. So, only the last 4 months are actually not about pagan gods. But look, September 7, October 8, November 9, December 10. I don't know if you noticed, but September's the 9th month, 10th, 11th, 12th. So even that don't work. But do we get mad at people every time they say, it's October? It is not. It's the 10th month. But do that. If you're going to do it, be consistent. If you're going to slam people for referring to Christmas, slam them when they refer to October as the 8th month, when in reality it's not October. It's the 10th month.
Ach is 8 in German, so...
Oops. So that's what you're dealing with. And there's many, many other examples, but I hate to tell you, a lot of you in here today have pagan names. Mariah says, not me. Oh. Mariah is the mount where Isaac was going to be offered and where Jesus died in the Temple Mount area and all that. Jordan. But Stephen's pagan. Stephanus, I think it would be. Gregory. Not only am I have a pagan name, I'm named after a pope. Oh, I was named after Gregory Peck. I'm sorry. Yeah, I do need to say that. My mom sees this. She'd be like, you made the whole world think I named you after a... She doesn't talk like that either. I'm getting myself in a lot of trouble. She doesn't talk like that either. Now you made the whole world think I named you after a pope. That's wrong. Of course, Thomas was named after the man that I defend constantly. He's always called the doubting Thomas. And Thomas was not a doubter. Thomas was doing what he's told to do as a Jew, and that is to see a sign. Amen?
Amen.
So give Thomas a break.
Yes.
All right. So on and on we could go with that. But I want to emphasize this last point. Say it with me. Let's major on the majors. Amen?
Amen.
John agrees with me. Praise God. The nativity is of major importance.
Amen.
Not even what you call it, but I like the phrase nativity. If I had my way, I would change the language and we would always refer to it as the nativity. And we'd change the date from December 25th through September 18th.
Amen.
Amen? But I'm not... They haven't made me dictator of the world yet. But if that happens, folks, it is my promise that if you make me dictator of the world, we will change Christmas to the Nativity and celebrate it on September 18th, and we will no longer have this kind of division in our world. See, Donald Trump needs to hire somebody here.
Take a great Antichrist.
Revelation 12:1, again, says, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Big problem here as well. There's basically two groups. One group will say that this is Mary. The other group will say this is the church. And it really is a problem because both feed into the whole replacement theology thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the big problem with it. This woman, as we're going to see, I'll prove it to you from Scripture, this woman is Israel in Revelation 12:1.
Amen.
And Mary gave birth to Jesus, true. But she was the chosen of Israel to be the one to give birth.
Amen.
Keep that in mind. So it's a reality check. This is not the church and this is not Mary that we're reading about.
Amen.
In Revelation 12. The best commentary on the Bible is what?
The Bible.
The Bible. Amen. Look again at the text, and what you want to do is I'm teaching you how to read your Bible here. Context, amen?
Amen.
You read verse 1, it says, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman. Okay, who's the woman? Let's see. What are the clues we're given here? Some of you might be thinking of Sherlock Holmes. I prefer Matlock. Amen?
Amen.
Matlock. Who?
Ellery Queen.
The sun. That's a hint. The moon under her feet. That's a hint. And upon her head, a crown of 12 stars. See? There's your hints. Now you have to ask, the first thing you should always do is say, does the Bible ever tell me anything about this?
Yeah.
Well, the answer is the identity of this woman is found in one single verse. And that doesn't always happen. But in Genesis chapter 37, verse 9, you'll hear me say this as I've taught through Revelation. One of the greatest ways to understand the book of Revelation is obviously to understand the previous 65 books. But understanding Genesis, the more you get to know Genesis, and then you read Revelation, you're going to be like, wow, look at this.
Yeah.
Constantly going back and forth. In our Genesis studies, we're doing office studies. They upload, so if you don't get online, you won't see these. But we're, I think, into Genesis 37 now, and so we're getting into Joseph. And so we're going to see Joseph as an incredible type of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And then you go to Genesis 37:9, it says, and he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren. Most of you, I hope, know this story, so I don't have to go into detail. But he goes out to find his brethren, and he tells them he's had this dream. He said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And his brothers already don't like him because he's the favorite. And Jacob has given him the coat of many colors, which, C-O-L-O-U-R-S. Which, in the new versions, they're trying to change that, by the way.
Wow.
And I can't remember what they actually changed it to, so do your homework there. But they're trying to change that. The coat of many colors they're trying to change. Can you believe that? I mean, there's just nothing sacred. This is Joseph that we're reading about. And he is the 12th star of Israel. So he referred to the other 11 stars bowing to him. He's number 12. The stars, in this context, the stars represent the 12 sons of Israel, who is Jacob.
Amen.
So, that's why the identity of the woman in Revelation 12 is understood to be the 12 tribes of Israel.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
The church did not replace Israel. By the way, I want to go back and look. Look, he even mentions in the text to tell you it's the same thing. The sun and the moon and the 11 stars, him being the 12th. The three hints you're given in Revelation 12:1 are right there in one verse to tell you who it is.
Amen.
Amen. So the identity of the woman in Revelation 12 is the 12 tribes of Israel. The church did not replace Israel. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
We are being used to what?
Provoke
Israel. Romans 11:11 says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. Now, how stupid is it for someone to say Israel is no longer Israel and the church is now Israel when the text right here says, no, there's a reason for their stumbling, but it's not so that God throws them out. He says, God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles. Why? For to provoke them to jealousy.
Amen.
Now, that sounds kind of funny to say it, but the reality is, God's using the fall of Israel and he's taking that as a means to then make this name, a people called out by his name, and this people, the body of Christ, the church, are then in turn being used to provoke Israel to jealousy.
Amen.
And you listen to the testimony of some of the great Jewish Christians through the ages, they'll tell you that was one of the amazing things that drew them to the New Testament. And then once they got into the New Testament, that's when they became a believer.
Amen.
They were provoked. Isn't that awesome? So then we established who she is.
Amen.
Verse 2 says, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. Who is she?
Israel.
Israel. This is God coming to be with us as a man. You see, one of the things you also want to do as you're reading through Revelation 12, don't forget what you've read on the other references to this. When it talks about, it says, and she being with child, who's the child? We're told in Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name what?
Emmanuel.
And we're told later, we're going to look at the reference, we're told later what Emmanuel means is God with us.
Amen.
Those who deny the deity of Christ and deny that God became a man and this nativity, this Christmas thing, whatever you want to call it, those who deny that that is God himself coming to be a man are not saved.
Amen.
They're not believers. You can't be saved if you're not a believer. You can say, oh, I believe in Jesus. What Jesus? If all you say is all you have to do is believe that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again, and you don't have to believe on the right Jesus, then Mormons are saved. Yep. Jehovah's Witnesses are saved.
Yep.
All the Catholics I've talked to, you know, there are some Catholics who say, well, they're Catholic, but they're agnostic, or they're Catholic, or they're atheist. But most Catholics I talk to will give a verbal assent to the fact that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. But then the problem is, who is Jesus? And they'll either deny his deity or they'll say he's not the only way to heaven.
Yeah.
Well, you either believe he's a man who that makes him a sinner and he can't die for your sins. And if he's not the only way to heaven, then he's a liar. See? That's how you get through that stuff. So every child born should remind us of his incarnation.
Amen.
Mariah's about to have a baby. Lori will have a baby. You're going to see Marilyn's baby in just a second. And when you have a baby, I'll tell you, when Mariah was born, the first thing I thought was, oh my goodness, what in the world? Because when they come out, they're ugly. Amen. If you say otherwise, you're not being honest. Babies come out a mess. So the first thing you think of is sin and the fallenness of man. And then within a few minutes, she went to this purple mess with her head all scrunched up, looking angry too. Like, who brought me out of here? Put me back in, I'm not done yet. And within a few minutes, there was this perfect little baby. And then they let me hold this little baby. I went from thinking of, to thinking, God did this.
Amen.
Now, not everybody's going to think that.
No.
But I hope Christians do.
Amen.
God did this. I'm holding my little baby, little baby Mariah, and God once came just like this to die for us.
Amen.
And I looked at a few people actually that day when I was holding. I said, can you ever think about the fact God did this? God came down here like a baby like this? And they just look at you like, but that's awesome. This is our sister Marilyn. We went up to New York to that wedding. We didn't get to see her. She's about an hour and a half north of where the wedding was, and she couldn't come because she's basically on bed rest. Making sure that the baby came out done. Looks done to me. Amen?
Amen.
That's little baby Grace.
Aww.
Beautiful little baby. And they're Armenian. And she said, came out hairy. But they have the hair covered up, keeping them warm with the little toboggan and everything. But that just brings back memories. But I want to show you this. Because I have no doubt that Mary sang to Jesus when he was a little baby. Beautiful.
Amen.
Isn't that beautiful?
Amen.
It's just so you know, I did get her permission to show you that.
Amen.
And I just told her, I said, you know, it's just such a huge blessing. And her name's Marilyn. And you think about Mary holding little baby Jesus.